showtime.
It's time for that radio show everyone loves.
Do not attempt to change the station. Just listen, and we'll keep broadcasting.
It's time to begin the show.
103.9 LI News Radio presents Your Island, the very best in talk radio, with your host, Tom Shalero.
Once again, welcome back as we're moving right along on our Monday edition. Now, this segment of our program is being brought to you by the Suffolk County Police Benevolent Association. The PBA is serves to support law enforcement, participate in special events and programs, all designed to help protect our community. They care about you and keeping us all safe. From the anti-drinking and driving campaign to protecting our children with education on the Megan Law, the PBA promotes a great relationship between the police and the people it's sworn to serve. Suffolk County is one of the safest counties in the country, and the PBA takes pride in its strong belief in our security. They have honored our fallen heroes who contribute greatly to our suburban way of life. Need to know more? Go right to that website, www.suffolkcountypba.org. Know the DiGirolamo for resident. Now, as promised, we have a Suffolk County legislator, I think third LD, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, Jim Mazzarella, calling on, trying to get as many of our officials that are running for re-election come maybe 3.5 weeks from now. And Jim was newly elected in a special election, but he has to run again for his first full term that he'll own for himself. And great having him on. I know we haven't had him on during the special. But Jim Mazzarella, my friend, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing well. You know, this is the time of year we all get stressed out with elections and issues and so on. And I've been loving having the legislators on because of what happened last Tuesday. I've been trying to get people's reads into the public hearing on the McCaffrey bill and the Berlin bill and so on. And when this was announced on Monday that there would be two resolutions that would essentially be somewhat beneficial for our great first responders, our police officers and so on, that I thought the legislature would come to a head and do this right thing. But I also believed in the public. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with the vote, but we'll certainly pick your brain apart. But I understand that the hearing didn't go the way that a lot of people thought, including myself. And I'm just interested in your reaction to the hearing that took place on the Kevin McCaffrey and Susan Berlin's resolution.
Yeah, so, Tom, it just seemed that I feel like there's a misunderstanding. I mean, you know, folks felt like it was infringement on their rights, saying that, police first responders, volunteers, are not a protected class of people because they choose that profession. And they said, protected classes are race, color, religion, those things that you cannot choose. They were drawing a distinction between that, and it just really seemed to be all about the police. I mean, the other side of it didn't speak about, how great volunteers, how firefighters, or anything of the such. And I think on the side of the people putting forth the bill, we felt that in certain circumstances, such as those professions where those particular people are putting their lives on the line every single day, that there should be additional protection.
Which, of course, makes sense. What we see what's happening all over the country, that police officers should be free of harassment, intimidation. And, I wish I was able to attend the hearing. But you have individuals going around to all of our jurisdictions, including Suffolk County, with video cameras and so on, baiting the police, making sure that 911 calls are being called and coming to the scene, and then starts the verbal abuse. As far as I'm concerned, that's harassment. Or the threatening. I saw one yesterday on YouTube where they were threatening the officer's family and so on. We need legislation to protect that so that you can come out with an arrest. And again, many of us in law enforcement saw this clearly as a bright day for the Suffolk legislature to consider something like this. And then when I hear what the public was saying, and again, the reason I'm asking you is because you witnessed it and your feelings, and I see what you said about the interpretation of all of this. But do you think that the folks and the majority opinion that took place at that public hearing on Tuesday, do you really think it represents the people of your district or even the people of Suffolk County?
I do not, not even in the slightest.
Okay.
Unfortunately, okay. That side was the loudest voices in the room at the time, but by no way, shape, or form does that represent the majority of the folks. So people love their police. They love their first responders. They love their firefighters. And they want them there. They want them to be protected.
So how bad did it get? I understand you had police officers testifying and people yelling, then quit your job or things like that. Did it get that bad?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, when police or first responder spoke, you know, they were hissed and booed and the presiding officer kept pretty good control. I have to say that much. When the other folks did speak, our side was very respectful and quiet and listened attentively to their points. So it was a little uncomfortable in that respect, but I cannot say it got out of hand. It did not.
Okay. All right. Now, if one was to vote based on the sentiment, and I'm talking about you and other legislators, to vote on a bill based on that sentiment, my feeling is you would vote against it just based on the sentiment. So I'll ask you, how do you think it's going to go if these things finally get to a vote? And I really hope to the high heaven that it gets to a vote and it's voted into the affirmative. But if you had to take a guess and you're in the minority, that may change after November. Okay.
Well,
but right now you're in the minority. Go ahead.
If you ask me to guess at this point, it looks like it's going back to committee. And, I'm hopeful that, we could come together and possibly, rectify it or, change the bill up so at least we get something. But right now it's going back to committee. And unfortunately, that lengthens the process. And I couldn't tell you where it's going to go from here, honestly, Tom.
Right. So there's no real anticipation that the next meeting, I think in later November, it will be on the floor for a vote. You don't see that?
I don't see it being on the floor to vote. The next meeting, I don't.
Now, are you? Again, I should have done my research, but are you on the public safety committee?
I am on the public safety committee. Yes. One of the bills came out of public safety, and one of them came out of government operations.
Oh, okay.
The one to protect the police came out of government operations, and the anti-doxing bill came out of public safety. The thing about the anti-doxing bill, they did make changes to that, and they made changes to the other bill as well, to soften the effect and to try and, come to, a meeting in the mind. But neither one of them, was satisfactory to the other side. Anyway, if I might, some real good things happened on October 5th in the legislature.
Okay. All right, let's go. Okay. Anything in mind that? Give me a good thing. You're right. I want a good thing.
All right. So one of the greatest things in a real long time was the fact that we took landmark vote to approve three sewer projects. One of them being again a landmark issue in the district of where I represent in LD3. And that was a vote to approve funding and establish the Forge River Watershed Sewer District and some $225 million that will go towards building a sewage treatment plant and extending sewers down into Mastic along Mastic Road and up the business corridor along Montauk Highway and into Shirley. And this is something that's been a very, very long time coming, sorely needed in the community, sorely needed for the environment, sorely needed for businesses, and we are going to get a shovel in the ground before the end of the year, and I can't say how excited I am about it.
Yeah. Well, that is something huge to bring home to your constituency, and I happen to know that issue. I happen to know that area very well, and this was something that was very close and to the hearts and minds of the people that live down in that area, and it may not seem like much to people who are concerned more about the greater things in life, that's what a local legislator does. You're relatively new with this. Any surprises to the job, particularly when it comes to legislation like this, the community projects and so on, is that something that you want to roll up the sleeves and get involved in?
Oh, absolutely. Again, this is something the community has been asking for probably close to 20 years. And to see it come to fruition on my watch is such a pleasure. I have lived in the community my entire life. I know what this means to the community. The community has supported it. They have advocated for it. They have come together. They voted on this district a few years back. And I can't think of anywhere better to have a brand new sewer district than Fudge River Watershed area.
Yeah. And that's, you know, so I know people are concerned about the pollution of the Fudge River and all of that. And I think this will do a lot to alleviate most of that. And, you know, I have to tell you right now, good work on that, because I can remember people fighting for this a long time. And you're saying 20 years, that's probably right when it comes to that. Anything else going on down in that area? Because a lot of the folks that listen to the show are concerned about a lot of issues down there. Anything else
you
could
say? Yeah. We've been, you know, we work closely with the 7th Precinct. Where, you know, we're all about security and safety of our neighborhoods. So we've been working closely with the 7th Precinct and, you know, put a few new initiatives together to try and improve the quality of life. The 7th Precinct, they're doing something now called Park Walk and Talk, kind of similar to what the old-fashioned beat cop used to do and just, like, kind of walk down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But now they'll park their car, walk a little bit, walk into a business, introduce themselves, you know, try to get people to know them by name instead of just by being a policeman. You know, just kind of, create a friendliness with the neighborhood. We had some bike patrols down in the beach area this summer, always very successful. We have some projects where the police will come in and, you know, sit down and have coffee. We had one scheduled this past week and unfortunately got canceled due to a death of a detective that everyone had to go to. But we're supposed to have coffee with a cop at the McDonald's in Shirley, which is like, you know, pretty much a hub area of the community. And so there, the police are really involved in trying to ingratiate themselves with the community, be part of the community and have people, you know, freely going to them with their issues and their concerns. And, you know, as a legislator, my office is always right there to support any type of initiatives like that.
I have found that area has very strong community groups, civic groups, ad hoc associations when it comes to specific issues and so on. And I've always found that kind of refreshing when people take it upon themselves to become part of the community. The groups over there in Mastic Beach, Shirley, and so on. Very enlightening to how they will leave their homes and go out to a meeting and to be involved and so on. I'm going to say this. I believe that's more in your district than it is in a lot of other legislative districts that are out there. The people in those neighborhoods seem to care and they seem to organize. You finding yourself busy with those groups?
Absolutely. We try to get to every civic in the community. I've only been in office since June, and we've probably been to at least a half a dozen, and a few of them we've been to twice. And if I can't get to one, I'll send my chief of staff, Tim, and, you know, and he reports on the latest happenings and, you know, and takes people's concern and brings it back to our office. But the civics are in constant contact with us through email and phone call. And so we're going like every day, you know, with issues that come in. And a lot of them do come in from the civics. We appreciate the civics and, you know, and all their communication to help us out to, you know, to kind of keep our ear to the ground.
You know, it's not too often that people who run for public office get to run twice in the same year. And you're on the ballot in November. I think the campaign was back in April or March, whenever it was. You're actually running twice for the same office. Is one the continuation of the other?
Yes, you say it like it's a benefit, Tom. I feel like I've been campaigning, since I got involved. But the special election was at the end of May, and that was to finish out the term of the previous legislator who resigned. I finished his term out, and now the November election is the full 2-year term.
Yeah.
And Speaking of that, where I'm talking to you from my pickup truck in the Colonial Woods, Whispering Pines area of Yaphank, and we're out knocking on doors.
Yeah, and I was going to bring that point up, and I know you were doing it in May, and you're doing it now in October. You're about 3.5 ways from the election. I'll tell you, you're going to have a very restful holiday season after running twice. People should know what it's like to run for public office and to do it twice in 1 year. I hope I didn't mean it look like a fringe benefit, because it is grueling. And this is from what I hear from. So, but what are the people telling you? You go door to door. You're over there in Yaphank. You knock on somebody's door, friendly relative, a friendly resident. What are they telling you?
Most of them are, you find some that are angry. A lot of them are angry, unfortunately, with the national scene, not so much with the local scene. It seems that people are very heightened and caught up on the national scene. And of course, some of the more controversial things as masking and mandates of vaccinations and, the whole gamut. We primarily concentrate on local issues and county issues, but many, many times from people's door, people want to talk about a national issue to a state issue, not always so much a county issue. But, we are doing some work in this neighborhood. They have a very busy intersection on William Floyd Parkway here. They contact me very early in my term and asked if I can, come down and listen. So I was myself. I brought some people from the 7th Precinct, brought some Town of Brookhaven people. We brought some people from the Department of Public Works. We had a very effective meeting with the folks here in Colonial Woods and Whispering Pines as to how to make this intersection here on William Floyd Parkway safer for the residents here. I have to say, we are making some headway. We have some new lighting. We're going to get a speed limit change, and we're also going to get some traffic light intermittency changes that are going to help these people out. Again, we're just trying to create an overall safer intersection for the residents here.
Yeah. I hear this a lot from folks running for the town board and minor offices, even town clerk. And they want to go out and meet their constituencies, and they end up talking about the debt ceiling or something like that having to do with the federal government. And I guess that's an occupational hazard, because people see you're an elected official and that they tend to paint everybody in the same brush. And that does become somewhat difficult. But you still have to talk to them, I guess, correctly about those issues?
Of course. And sometimes they just want to be heard. Sometimes just giving them your ear, letting them know that you care and that you sympathize with their issues. I mean, we just knocked on a fellow's door that he refused his vaccination and lost his job as a nurse, and he's unemployed and he can't find a job. He's worried about paying his bills. There's some real problems out there.
Yeah, that's terrible. By the way, we've been talking quite a bit that on our radio show, what the governor did to the people that we need the most. We just have a few minutes left before I let you go. Round one, you were successful back in May. What does round two look like?
We're not doing anything different, Tom. We're going to take our successful motion that we used the first time around. We're out. We're knocking on doors. We're putting out signs up. We're being very positive, connecting with the community, and again, working very hard. Our chairman, Jesse Garcia, has built quite a team of people, quite a machine. And when he puts a drive together, a walk campaign or a mail campaign or what have you, you could rest assured that it's going to be successful.
Yeah, terrific. Before I let you go, again, Jim Mazzarella running for, I guess you could say, re-election in November. The folks that live in the 3rd LD, they want to learn more about you. Where do they go?
We have a Facebook page, Legislator Mazzarella, and that's pretty much, if you look at that, we're very active. We post every day. We're in a different place in our community and sometimes even outside the community visiting, food banks, and sometimes we'll visit a special place in the county where there's some specialized forces for our police. Our Facebook page will show you everything that we do. We are very, very active and, working every day to improve the lives of the people in the 3rd LD.
Now, once again, good luck to you, Jim Mazzarella, 3rd Legislative District. We'll be on the ballot in just a few weeks, come November. And folks, don't forget, you've got to vote. Everybody has got to vote, considering the state of this country, the state of the state, and also what's happening here locally. Jim, you have a great day, my friend.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for the opportunity and the time to spend with you.
Okay, terrific. We're going to take a short break. I'm your host, Don Salero. When we get back, we'll finish up with some talk about who's running for president. And you'll hear more about that when we get back.